It's good to know that we're not alone, isn't it? That He is with us all the way. We're going to be in our Bibles, this 13th chapter of John's Gospel. So if you don't have your Bibles, please get your Bibles. I want to remind you again, if you tuned in a little late, that we'll be having communion after the service at the end of it. So you may want to get a cracker or something, and something you can eat, wafers, and some juice. So at the end of our study, this is the time we consider Jesus suffering, gathering with His disciples there at the Last Supper before His betrayal, crucifixion, the Garden of Gethsemane. And of course, we're excited about Sunday. We'll be live streaming on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Again, the 13th chapter of John's Gospel. The title of this message is The Loving Servant. As we look at these verses, I want to remind you that Jesus came, the Bible says, to reveal the Father to us. The Bible says no man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who's in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him or revealed Him to us. And I just want to look at a passage for five verses in this 13th chapter of John's Gospel and just talk about the fact that He is both a servant and He loves us very much. And that is very clearly brought out in the passage we'll look at this evening. So again, the 13th chapter of John's Gospel, and this again is the last time He met with His disciples before His crucifixion. Let me fix my computer real quick. I thought I had it on auto lock, but didn't. There we go. John chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Let's read that. It says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world to the Father, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside His garments, took a towel, and girded Himself. After that, He poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which He was girded." Now, this is a very interesting passage because certain things that are brought out in the passage that I think are given to us to sort of reveal the heart of God to us in this study. Some of the things we're going to look at is what Jesus knew, and then we'll look at two things that He did. There are a number of things this passage shows us that He knew, He understood, and other things that He did Himself. But all of that geared towards revealing the fact that God is a loving servant to us. And certainly in this very unusual time when we feel perhaps sort of isolated, and we are isolated, and we may be depressed or discouraged, we have to remember that this loving servant is with us no matter where we are. We have to remind ourselves that. And I think this passage shows us that in a very clear way. So as you think about the suffering of Jesus and the fact that He gathered with His disciples, we think about the things that we're going through as a nation, with things that we're going through individually. I just want to remind you that He is a loving servant to us all the way in our lives. No matter what's going on, no matter where we are, no matter what kind of challenge that we face, He's always with us. So look, if you will, in our study here, we're going to look at, first of all, the things that Jesus knew. In verse 1, it says, "Before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that His hour had come, that He should depart from this world." So we find out, first of all, that He knew that the end of His ministry was at hand. So He had this revelation. He knew that He was coming to the end of His life, coming to the great climax, if you will, of the whole reason that He came to this earth. And so you can imagine what was going on in His mind. Of course, we sort of skip to the Garden of Gethsemane later on in our journey, we realize that He was troubled, He was very upset, He was very concerned, he was in agony, the Bible says. And so we see this whole idea that He's coming to the end of His journey, the end of His life. And that's what the Bible says, He knew that. After 3.5 years of ministry with these disciples, He knew that all that was coming to a close because He was fixing to leave, and so He understood that. Then look also in verse 3, if you will. The second thing I want to point out in verse 3 is that Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands. Now think about that. He had given all things into His hands. The Bible says that God the Father exalted Jesus after He was raised up to be in his right hand, all principalities and powers and might and dominion given to him. So the Father had given everything into his hand. Now, what I want to do in this study here is contrast individuals in the world with him. Because I think that's what the Holy Spirit's doing in our passage. In other words, there are certain things that are said that Jesus knew. And it's sort of setting the stage as we consider what exactly did he know, and then how is that related to what he did. And I think the Holy Spirit in his wisdom is telling us these things. It says here in this passage in verse 3 that he knew that the Father had given everything into his hands. So he, of course, is Lord of all. And the Father had entrusted everything into his hands. He had given him everything. Knowing that, in other words, how would an individual in the world respond if everything was given into that person's hands? Or how would that person respond if that person knew that he was coming or she was coming to the end of their life? And I think what we're seeing here is this stage being set by what Jesus knew to show himself as that loving servant. So as we consider the things that he knew, I want to just keep, again, remind you of that. As he knew that his hour was at hand, that he would be going, he would be leaving. As he knew that the Father had given everything into his hands, meaning that he was all authority, Jesus said, has been given to me in heaven and earth. He said that to his disciples. Go therefore. He said that in Mark chapter 16, this idea of all authority given to him. And that's what it means in verse 3 when it says that the Father had given everything into his hands. The Father had entrusted to Jesus all authority, all power, dominion, rule over everything into his hands. Now let me just ask you another question. Again, as I pointed out earlier, what would someone in the world do with that? How would someone react to that? And I think what we're seeing again is the absolute difference between Jesus and people in the world. And he was who he is from before creation to the end of the creation. The Bible says, I'm the Lord God, I change not. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now keep that in mind as we look at some of the things that Jesus knew. He knew that his hour was at hand, that he was leaving. He knew that the Father had given everything into his hands. Look also in verse 3. It says that he had come from God and was going to God. So he knew that. He knew that he has come from God. In other words, he knew his origins. He knew where he had been before. I want to point out a moment, first of all, regarding this whole idea of where he had been. Because, yes, he had come from God, but from God for what? And if we think about for the last 3.5 years, he had labored alongside these disciples. And he had ministered to people in the world. He had ministered and taught for 3.5 years, over and over and over again, to the point of exhaustion. I'm reminded of the time when in his first part of his ministry, when huge crowds gathered to see him. The Bible talks about there was a point in time when he went into a house and there were so many people around him that his mother and brothers were trying to get to him and couldn't. And so when they wanted to get to him, they couldn't. They sent word to him, tell Jesus that his mother and brothers are outside. Remember that? There's another time the Bible says that Jesus was ministering and they didn't even have time to eat. The point being is that he knew where he'd come from. He knew that he'd come from God. He knew that he'd be sent. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So God, the Father, sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. He understood that. He had come for a mission. He had come for a purpose. But I also want to point out he had been serving for 3.5 years during his ministry. That's when the sort of the Holy Spirit brings us into that place where all of a sudden, once he's baptized by John in the wilderness, he begins to minister and to serve, and he's done that for 3.5 years. Now, I want to point out, so often in the world, when someone does something, and they do it a lot, and they've got a period of time they're doing that in, a lot of times when they get to the end of that, they sort of call it quits. They sort of say, I've been there, done that. That's over in my life. That's the way the world does. In the same way, when the world thinks about all authority has been given to me, as Jesus said, the Father, he knew the Father had given everything in his hands, the people in the world, the people that live in this world, would want to dominate. They'd want to control. They'd want to have other people serving them. They want to have other individuals bowing down to them. In the same way, Jesus, knowing where he'd come from, knowing that he had come from God, of course, that speaks of his being eternally there with him. He was there before the foundation of the world. Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. But more than that, when it says he came from God, I think it's referring to this whole time now, up to this point. His hour had come. The hour of the crucifixion, the hour of his death, the hour of his sacrifice, the hour of this great purpose that had been planned before the foundation of the world. And when he had come from God the Father on this planet, he had served, he had taught to the point of exhaustion, to the point of, I'm reminded when the disciples got in the boat to go over the Sea of Galilee. Remember the storm came and then he was sound asleep. That's another indication how exhausted he must have been. The point being is he had been serving for 3.5 years. And the Holy Spirit is bringing that into our minds as we look at these verses. He knew that he'd come from God. And then it says in verse 3 also, and he was going to God. So he knew where he was headed. So again, my point is, when you get to the end of one stage and go to another, a lot of times at the end of that period, you sort of kick back. It's almost like retirement. Okay, I've been working all these years. I've come to a place of retirement. Now I'm going to just chill out and wait. I'm going to enjoy my golden years and retire. The point being is that this is the stage being set for this further revelation of what God is like, that he is a loving servant. Because he was going to God. He was going to go up to heaven. He was going to sit on the right hand of the Father. He knew exactly what was going to happen, not only in the crucifixion and his death and his resurrection, but ultimately he was going back where he'd come from, back to God the Father. Remember, on the cross, as we go along through this passage to the crucifixion, he was separated from God his Father. That was the great agony of the Garden of Gethsemane, the reason he was so troubled and so sweating. He was so concerned. He said, now is my soul troubled. So the point is, again, he had been serving. He had been giving himself. He understood who he was. He understood where he was going. He understood that the time of his departure was at hand. He was leaving. His ministry was about over with. He understood where he'd come from God. And these 3.5 years he had been serving, he understood where he was going. All that was in his mind. Now, I want to just point out again that the Holy Spirit is bringing this to our minds because of the passage. In other words, when you read this, you think, okay, what does this have to do with anything? Why does it make that statement in verse 3? Knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God. All that, verses 1 through 3, is all connected to the fact that he's a loving servant, what he's fixing to do. And I think it gives us a revelation of God's heart, of what God is like. It shows us what God's like. And it sort of contrasts us because anybody that comes to the end of the message or the end of the road or the end of their lives is going to sort of kick back. Anybody that says, all authority has been given to me, I'm going to have individuals serving me, bowing down to me. I'm going to sit on my throne and have all these servants. Or think about people in power today. People that are affluent. And when they have this kind of authority or power, they have a lot of people serving them or doing things for them all the time. That's the way the world does. Or when it says he knew that his hour had come, think about an individual that knows that his hour has come, and I'm meaning to the end of his life. What would that individual be doing? Well, I think most people would be thinking, this is, you know, my time. I'm going to die. I'm going to be leaving my last breath or whatever. It's the close of my life. I've got a few days left. That's what he had. He knew that. I think the last thing on anyone's mind in this world would be loving and serving others. I think that's not the way the world works. I think that's not the way the people of the world work. I think that anybody that had given that kind of authority that the Father had given to Jesus or that had come to the end of that journey where I'm towards the end, I've all got a few days left. The point being, the Holy Spirit is setting the stage for this further revelation of the heart of God, what God is like. And maybe you've read John's gospel and read these verses before, and as you've read those, you think, okay, knowing this and knowing that and these five things we've looked at that he knew, or four things rather, what does that have to do with what he's fixing to do? I think it has everything to do with what he's fixing to do. Because it is setting the stage and it is showing us something that is very unique about God himself. In contrast to ourselves or anybody else. And that is, he's a loving servant. That is the core of who he is. So let's look at a couple things that he did, okay? First of all, if you look at verse 1, it says, "Now the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world." Let's stop there for a minute. This is what he did. Think of the contrast. Here's what he knew. Here's what he did. What did he do? Well, he loved his own that were in the world. So for 3.5 years, as he had gathered his disciples and they would gone with him throughout the northern kingdom or the northern part of Israel, primarily down to Jerusalem a few times. This is the third trip, actually, to Jerusalem. He had served these individuals, but it says here that he loved them. He loved these individuals. He had loved them his entire time, never stopped loving them, never waned in his love, never sort of got weary of his love. Or we think about the times in their lives, the disciples, where they misunderstood him. Or the Bible says as he was headed towards Jerusalem at the end, they were arguing about who was the greatest. There were a lot of things that they did that would irritate the normal individual. And that was not the way he was. He loved them. As a matter of fact, let's look at the second thing that he did. It says here in verse 1. It says, not only did he love those that were in the world that God had given to him, but he loved them to the end. So this is what he did. He didn't love them to a point and then all of a sudden say, all right, guys, this is my time now. This is time when I'm going to, this is all about, I'm fixing to die now. I've come to the end of my life. I've only got a few hours left or a few days left. And sort of excuse me for a while, like normal people would do. The Bible says the focus of his life was he loved them through that ministry, but he loved them to the end. He never stopped loving them. And the Holy Spirit in our study here is bringing out this love that he had for his disciples, and he wants us to know that Jesus loved them to the very end of his life, to the very end when he died on the cross. And of course, beyond that, he loves us. But it's simply contrasting that, this great love. He's an individual who cares about us. And he loves us through it all. No matter what he went through, no matter the trials that he faced, whether it be the rejection or the persecution, even his own family did not believe in him for a while. There were individuals that didn't know it, didn't believe in him. Even his own disciples had trouble sometimes with him. Yet he kept loving them. And he loved them to the end. The point being is that he faithfully loved. Maybe in your own life, as you feel isolated because of the coronavirus, maybe because you feel sort of isolated and all alone, I want you to know that he loves you. That he's never stopped loving you. That is not a point in time when he doesn't love you. And I want to point out that the love of God is not conditional upon how we act or what we don't do or do. He loves us because of who he is. In the same way, he didn't love his disciples because they acted and behaved all the time or that they understood everything that he said. He loved them because of who he is. And this is the point the Holy Spirit is bringing out in our study here. He's bringing this out at the very end when he was coming to the end of his life. His hour had come that he would give his life as the ransom, the great purpose of it all. He continued to love these individuals. And who are these people? They were common, ordinary people. There were individuals that the world did not care much about. We think about different individuals that he had saved or cast demons out of, people that he had healed, other people who were just common individuals. As a matter of fact, the Bible is very clear that God loves the common people. He loves the low people, the people that people don't love. Those are the ones that he loves. And this is a revelation to us of God, God's heart. So here we come to the Last Supper, and what the Holy Spirit is putting in front of us is this love that Jesus has, this love that is so different. And it points it all out by saying that he loved these people in spite of the fact that he knew his hour had come, he knew where he'd come from, He knew where he was going. He knew that the Father had given him everything in his hands. He knew all these things, but his focus was on loving his disciples. That's an amazing truth. Have you ever wondered if God's so busy up in heaven taking care of maybe the heavens or the whatever it may be he's taking care of, that he sort of forgets about us, forgets about you? Maybe you've sort of been isolated in your home. And you thought, does anybody really care about me? Well, I think this passage clearly tells us that he loves us no matter what. He loves us no matter who we are. And who are we? Well, we're just lowly, common, ordinary people. Paul the Apostle said in 1 Corinthians, "Brethren, you see, there's not many mighty, not many affluent, not many wealthy, not many noble. God has chosen the foolish things to confound the wise." God's chosen weak things. Now, weak things oftentimes have a hard time believing that they really are loved. They have a hard time considering this. Well, what is the Last Supper all about? What is this whole week all about? For God so loved the world, for God so loved you, that he gave his only begotten Son. And it's not just that the Father loved us, Jesus loves us. It's referring to Christ. We talk about the God so loved the world that he gave his Son, yes, but Jesus came and loved us, and that's what this verse is saying to us. So he loved them that were his own, he loved them to the end, but secondly, I want to point out, look at verses 4 and 5. What did he do? Well, he kept loving, and then secondly, he served them. Verse 4 says, he rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Now, let me just point out again what was just mentioned earlier. Look what it says again in verses 1 through 3. Now, the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from the world to the Father, having loved his own that were in the world, he loved them to the end. Supper being ended, verse 2, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. So all that has set the stage. All that has set the platform for what he's going to do. Well, what is he going to do? Verse 4. He rose from supper, laid aside his garments, took a towel, girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Wow. Wow. You see what the Holy Spirit's done? See how the Holy Spirit has said these three verses, setting the stage? Because it is revealing to us what God is like. It is showing us his love, and it's showing us the fact that he's a servant. He is a loving servant. That's who he is. And this reveals that to us. When we think about people, as I mentioned earlier, when we think about affluent people or people that have authority and power or people that know that their hour has come where they're going to go, the last thing they're thinking about so often is other people. They're concerned about making sure that I'm ready or I got everything tied up or whatever it may be or wherever, or if I have all this authority, the last thing I'm thinking about being a servant. So it's revealing and showing us what God is like. Isn't that what the crucifixion is? Isn't that what this is all about? Revealing to us what God is like and how that relates to you and I. Why did he do this? Who did he do this for? Why was his hour come that he would die on the cross? He did that for us. Why? Because he's a loving servant. He loves us all the way through and he serves us all the way through. Has there ever been a time when you've woken up and called out to God that he's not heard? Has there ever been a burden on your heart that you've not bowed your head or even just talked to him about and he's not heard? He always hears us. Why? Because he's a loving servant. So if you feel rejected, if you feel isolated and sort of cooped up in your home and that everybody's forgotten about you, or you have needs in your life and you're worried about what's going to happen in the future or down the road, remember that Jesus is a loving servant. And he loves us to the very end of our life and beyond that. Because our life never really ends. We may die physically, but he'll always love us. He always has loved us. Because God is outside of time. So God is a loving servant. And I just want you to, the next time you read this 13th chapter of John's Gospel and read these verses, knowing this, knowing that, knowing this, knowing that, remember, it's setting the stage. It's building this whole idea, and then all of a sudden he's getting up and serving. He's loved them, he loves them to the end, and now he begins to serve them. It's showing us how different Jesus is than anybody else on the earth. Is there any fake, false religious system that has a God like this? Is there any cult or any idol that is like him? Nobody. He's unique. He stands alone. He's very different. He's a loving servant to you and I. In the crisis that we face, God is dealing with our nation, dealing with people, but he is a loving servant to us. And that's what the Bible says in that first verse. It says that he should depart from this world having loved his own who are in the world. That's us. He loved them to the end. Of course, he's referring to his disciples that were with him and followed him through this time. It was a very difficult and challenging time, but he loved them to the end. So remember that Jesus loved us. When we take communion, and let me encourage you at this point to go ahead and get your elements. I'd like to ask the worship team to come back up and we'll get ready to have communion together. I want to remind you that Jesus is there to serve. I don't know what needs you have. I don't know what trials you're going through, but he does. It's not that he just serves us, but he loves us. He is a loving servant. Who is this individual? Well, he's the King of Kings. As we just read a minute ago, he's the one that the Father has given everything into his hands. The Father's done that so that every knee would bow to him and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Who is this individual? He's a loving servant. He's someone who cares about you in your homes, what you're going through. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you're concerned about your finances or your bills. He's a loving servant. Take the time to ask him. Take the time to call out to him. If you're not a believer, give your life into his hands. He loves you very much. The Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to a knowledge of the truth. And the truth is that Jesus Christ, God's only Son, came down on this world and lived here, and he was crucified. He was buried. He went to the cross for you and I because he's a loving servant. We look sometimes at this passage where he washed the disciples' feet. And I would say to you in a very practical way, he served us a lot more than that on the cross. He washed the disciples' feet. Yes, he did. But he served me and you by taking my place and your place when he died on the cross so that I would not have to face the wrath of God. Jesus was our substitute. Jesus is God's Son. That's why we love him. That's why we celebrate Good Friday. It's a great day. It's a good day because Jesus Christ is the loving servant to us now. As you think about the situations that you find yourself in, I find myself in, we find ourselves in as a nation, he loves us very much. Let me ask you, if you will, to think about communion and the fact that Jesus died on the cross for us. Think about the fact that he suffered for us. And as the worship team plays this song, I'd like you to just meditate upon that, and then I'll come up and we'll take the elements together.
can separate me now. You go before me. You shield.
Beautiful song. He does love you very, very much, and he's there to serve you. In the 26th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, verse 26, it says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body. So in your homes, your families, wherever you are, let's take the bread together. And then in verse 27, it says, then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day that I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Let's take the cup together. Lord, we thank you for loving us so much and for sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins. We pray that although we're not able to meet, we pray that all of this world, people would hear the gospel. And we pray for this week and this preparation that many would come to know Jesus, and that we who know you would rest in the fact that you love us and you are a servant for us and to us. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for revealing Jesus. Thank you for revealing what the Father is like and showing us. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you work through the Word and you work in this world into our hearts and you remind us and show us what God is like. And even in our study tonight, it was you that showed us how Jesus is a loving servant to us. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. And then in verse 30 it says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So we're going to close with one more song. Then I'll come up and we'll pray.
King of my heart, be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, let the king of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, you are good, good. Oh.
Yes, he is. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for the goodness of God, the grace of God revealed to us in Jesus. May you prepare our hearts for the resurrection, the great day when he was raised up from the grave and he lives forevermore. In Jesus' precious name, amen. See you at 10 o'clock on Sunday morning. God bless you.